Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Teenager Clay Johnson returns home from school to find a mysterious box lying on his porch. Inside, he discovers 7 double-sided cassette tapes recorded by Hannah Baker, his classmate and unrequited love, who tragically committed suicide 2 weeks earlier. We're talking about the show 13 Reasons Why today, and whether or not this show glorifies teen suicide, whether or not this show is giving teens the wrong idea, and how parents can utilize this topic and this show as a means to communicate with their children and talk about this very difficult topic to discuss. My guest today is Dr. Cora Colette Bruner. She's a professor of pediatrics. She's a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics, and she's an expert in adolescent health. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bruner. So you've watched this show. Tell us a little bit about your feelings as an adult, as an expert in adolescent health, as a mom. When you watched the show, what were some of the feelings going through your head?
Well, Millie, that's a wonderful question. And I actually hadn't watched it when it first came out. But then, interestingly, in preparation for this interview, but also because it's come up in my practice quite a bit, I work at Seattle Children's Hospital and have a very large practice, predominantly adolescents in sports medicine and in general adolescent medicine. And it has come up when I've been talking to my kids, especially those that have been depressed or anxious. And I always ask them, how much time do you spend on TV or Netflix or on the screen? And then what shows do you watch? What shows do you binge watch? And quite a few of them have already seen 13 Reasons Why without knowledge of their parents. And it's usually a major aha moment in my office when the parents look at their kids and say, wait a minute, you watched that? So basically the horse is already out of the barn for so many of our young kids, as young as 11 and 12, to be honest with you. Which points to a whole nother topic, which is unsupervised screen time. But I think when I watched the show, I was at times horrified because there was glaring holes in the depiction of what would probably happen to someone like Hannah Baker in real time, which was that there was a complete deficit of any mental health professionals that were trying to help her. I know that in my practice, when my patients or their families express concern about their children, the first thing we do is get a mental health professional involved, whether it's a master's in families therapy or a psychologist or even a counselor within the school system. There's so many quick interfaces, interventions that are available to families for their children, and that there was no mental health professional depicted in this girl's tragic end.
See, that is an interesting point that you're making, that this story follows this girl and these tapes and the aftermath and the effects, and yet there's no mental health professionals involved. They don't show any mental health intervention or anything along that lines. Are there any parental or teacher interventions that you noticed?
Well, there was a school counselor, and he didn't, I mean, he tried, but it didn't feel like he was realized that he needed to escalate to a higher level of care. Which, honestly, I feel that, and I know there were mental health professionals involved in the writing of this show, but I felt that really truly didn't depict what would have happened. There was a number of incredibly wonderful scenes as well. The bullying scene, the scene where a picture was taken of her and then the cyberbullying happened in real time in the classroom when all the kids' phones started beeping when the pictures came in. And they weren't, there wasn't a bad picture of her. It was just one that it was just bleeped throughout the entire classroom. And her reaction to that, I thought was excellent. And I know that's exactly what happened. So that was pretty incredible. The fight scene was hard to watch with all the kids just taking pictures of it and not trying to stop it. So to be honest with you, it was hard to watch, just like it would be hard to hear about a real situation like that. But I know it really happened. So I think
that's the thing, is that sometimes when you're teaching kids about things like the Holocaust or things like that, these are hard to watch scenes. They're hard things to wrap your mind around, and scenes like you just depicted are disturbing, but yet we realize that with kids and their phones now, and they've become so desensitized to so much of the violence and the that it just seems to go past. And now, as I understand it, Dr. Bruner, there's blame involved in this, and that it not necessarily glorifies it, but is it that there's a justice situation where she's seeking justice after the fact in the way that she is putting it on other people? Is that did you feel that there's, it's almost a seeking justice situation?
Well, yes, and revenge. But the thing that, again, didn't make sense was that if somebody was that distraught, they shouldn't have been that organized in their death, really.
I mean, that's right.
I mean, that she was so there was a bit that just didn't make sense, that she would be so, have so much premeditation around all of this that
that her suicide served as a catalyst to get
correct.
Those wheels of justice going, to what may have felt elusive to her in her life.
Right.
Now becomes something she actually planned for in death.
Right, and in real life, again, this doesn't depict what I would imagine really was happening with somebody so distraught and without hope that they wanted to die. That just, it doesn't, having seen kids like that, I haven't seen anyone as organized as she was and as calm in talking about everything. So it makes really good drama, and it makes a really good show to watch because of that, because these are actors.
Compelling TV.
Yeah. But also it means, honestly, I feel like we haven't been talking about this topic enough, Melanie, and I'm so glad that this is an opportunity to do it. And that was the whole premise behind the author writing the book and the show was, hey, because the author himself, he was suicidal and almost, he made an attempt. Anyway, so that's why his book was written, and now his show wasn't to, whether it's
to glorify it or to,
correct. I mean, obviously many of the people in the entertainment industry are doing very well,
sure,
with this show. And I would have bet you there's probably about 10 more shows like this in the can right now because of the audience,
of the success,
which has exploded.
Yeah.
So we could either turn away from it and say, I'm not going to deal with this. I would imagine that because it's so popular, there are so many more shows that are going to get put out.
Well, I think it got a second season too, but now let's move on from the show then and talk about the broader topic of teen suicide. Dr. Bruner, now, first of all, how do parents decide if this show is appropriate for their children to watch? I mean, how is a parent to watch this and not automatically say, no, I don't want you to see these bullying scenes and all of it. How does a parent decide? And are there certain teens that you feel, as an adolescent health expert, that should not watch this program?
Well, I think, honestly, if the parent wants to just do, you could go online and read a synopsis of every episode or the show itself. It's super easy. It takes like a millisecond. And you can read the synopsis. And if you feel like, I don't want my kid to watch this show, then that's it. It's a hard stop. You don't have to watch the show yourself to decide whether you want your kid to watch the show. I think it's inappropriate for kids under the age of 13. Absolutely. It's just too... And the kids in the show are sophomores in high school, so they're 15. Honestly, the actors are all in their 20s, but that's another issue. But it's a show about a sophomore year in high school, so technically you shouldn't watch it if you're under 15. But I think kids could... If they watch it, they should be watching it with their parents. And honestly, the parents probably should watch it first, so that they're not as shocked and horrified as they could possibly be for seeing it the first time. But if not, if they are, they should pause it and stop it and say, okay, that was a scene about a kid being bullied, cyberbullied. Can we talk about this for a second? Because this is,
yeah.
Have you seen this in your classroom? Have you seen this in your friends? And they'll all say yes, or they'll all say they've heard about it. And then the parent can say, how did you react to it? And let's talk about it for a second. It's an incredible teaching tool for both parents and kids, and even teachers and spiritual leaders. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's the exact same thing as some incredible academic textbook on calculus, but it is so important to not, the more you say, I don't want you watching this is terrible,
yeah,
I'm
not
watching
it. Yeah, of course, that's going to make the kid want to watch it.
Correct.
And their friends are all talking about it. So using suggestions to talk about the show's content, engaging,
correct,
that teen's thoughts and reaction to the subject matter is what's most important. And before we were talking off the air, you were giving us some stats on teen suicide.
Correct. You know, and the stats are pretty glaring. That the statistics on suicide, it's increased since 1950, up by 300%. And this is all clearly delineated in the American Academy of Pediatrics policy statement that was published in 2016, July. So it's very easy to download from the AAP website on suicide and at suicide attempts in adolescents. So, and it's an extensive clinical report written with multiple references. But at any rate, the statistics on suicide are that each year it's gone higher. There's been a little blip and changing in different subsets of American population. In other words, in the Native American population, it's very high. And so that's really important in terms of the high-risk populations that probably shouldn't, 10 kids shouldn't watch this all by themselves without a parent or some adult with them, especially in that population. In sexual minority youth, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender questioning youth have twice the rate of suicidal ideation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These are hard facts that mean that if you have a population, I wouldn't recommend that they not necessarily, you can't watch this show because they will. But it's just, it would be of people that take care of that population, be important to be mindful that if a group that is in a group that is has a higher rate of suicide, that it would probably be imperative that these kids are watching the show with an adult that they trust. And has that can help them navigate the show's content.
So you look for the at-risk teens, and
right.
if they are planning to watch it, make sure there's an adult there to discuss the content so that it doesn't set things in motion. Or, I mean, because what people are saying, Dr. Bruner, is that this show will make teens consider suicide when maybe it wasn't something that they thought about before. But here's my take on that. Teens that are... You know, today we hear so much about various things on YouTube and Facebook and people that have done dastardly deeds on these, you know, these video presentations, as it were. And so teens are not stupid and they know what's going on out there, whether or not they're willing to discuss it or feel it. That, I think, is a whole nother matter. But if they're an at-risk teen, then I think parents need to step up and make sure that they discuss, and especially, as you say, if they're an LGBTQ teen, if they're transgender, if they're anything like this, they need to be watched a little more closely.
Correct. And just in a loving, mindful, nurturing way, but it is kids are more impulsive than grown-ups. I mean, we know that the brain basically is supposed to be done developing by age 25, so all the impulsive activities are supposed to go way down at that age. Of course, that is in question. It might be closer to 29. But at any rate, that kids will make decisions in a much more risky way under that age. So that's one of the concerns is the impulsivity that the show might trigger. Because if there's access to guns, so if there's access to things where they can hurt themselves in that kind of a group, it probably, I mean, I've always said this, which is a teenager should never have access to guns. They always should be locked up.
Sure,
but
sure.
Especially those that are even remotely questioning. And I think it's not so much about depression as opposed to the lack of hope. I think that people get depressed. I mean, obviously people get sad about things sometimes, and that's normal. But the piece about not having any hope, that's the part that is terrifying to me as a mom and as a clinician,
thing.
Is that vast wasteland of hopelessness. I mean, give me some kid that's mad or even sad. I can work with that. But hopelessness is a pretty dark
It's a pretty dark place. And what they've shown also is that if there is a gun in the house and a child is feeling those kinds of things, what might have been just even a romance gone bad, or something minor that a teen would have then maybe, who knows, you know, drank too much or done something like that. If there's a gun in the house, it can make what might have been a temporary situation permanent.
Correct.
And really, really sad. So
right.
Wrap this up for us, Dr. Bruner, with your best advice about this show, about teen suicide, about parents and their communication and talking with their children, whether it's just about teen suicide itself or about this show and what it means to them, and kind of wrap it up for us, really, with your best advice.
That's a tall order.
I know, but you can do it. You're good at this. You're good at this.
No, I know. I have always felt that when you are a parent, when you have a child, it doesn't stop until you stop. So I think that as parents, when we have our babies, we we make sure that we have the right kind of, we breastfeed and we use the safety all the time with our car seats and our seatbelts and our hot water temperatures. And then as they get, these kids get older, many times our parents give them more freedom too early. And then what ends up happening, and as parents, we feel that we're ineffective, that the media controls our children and we don't, that these shows come out and our kids watch them. So we just throw up our hands and say, well, whatever, I guess we can't do anything about it. And I feel, as a parent and a pediatrician and an advocate, that we're not done. We are not done. My dad wasn't done with me until he died a few years ago at 88. And, you know, so honestly, I feel like as parents, we need to step up to this gauntlet that's been thrown down, which is, this is a television show that's got some pretty charged topics. And rather than turn away and say, okay, I guess we can't do anything, is to put on our boxing gloves and say, nope, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to get this statistic, and we're going to get this statistic to drop, as opposed to throwing up our hands and saying we can't do anything about it. We can. And the fire hose is on full right now, and we need to turn it down. So we need to turn it down by talking about it with our kids, insisting on mental health care at every opportunity we can, stepping up our involvement at the school, stepping our involvement if we're at our faith-based institutions to make sure everybody is out there to help these children and give them an opportunity to talk about their issues and not stifle those, but be open and really decrease access to impulsive, harmful things that could really hurt kids, including guns or even stuff in your medicine cabinet. These are things that really are very quick fixes to our kids' thoughts of self-harm. And in the ultimate sense, make sure that we take care of ourselves so that we can take care of our kids. So we should very much make sure that we are on it in terms of our own self-care and model good behavior in terms of screen time and sleep and nutrition and exercise so that we aren't letting our kids say, well, my parents aren't really, they don't care because they're on their phones too. Is just to say, no, we're your parents and you got to turn it off.
Absolutely. And that is really the great advice. We have to role model. We have to role model this good parenting behavior ourselves. They can't see us texting and driving. They should see us exercising, eating healthy, making salads, keeping things organized. I mean, this is what our kids need to see us doing, exercising and having a great time, but doing it in a nice, healthy, safe way. So talk to your
kids.
And also,
if we ourselves have mental health issues as adults, then they should know that we actually are getting some help.
That's right.
And it's
they
okay.
See that.
And their kids are not our therapists, obviously, but you know, mom has to go see her counselor right now. I'll be back. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I don't know. The more we talk about this, the less stigma it has. And the more we model that we're taking care of ourselves mentally, then if a kid is upset or sad about something that's pretty awful that happened, they know, well, I can talk to mom or dad or whoever, because, and that's an adult role model for me, because they're getting the help they need, and maybe
that's right.
Something,
so it's going to make the kids not feel that there is this stigma. And thank you so much, Dr. Bruner, for talking about such a difficult topic, but something that's so, so important for parents to hear. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. If you like these shows, subscribe to us on iTunes. Be a part of it. That way we all get involved and we can all really learn from these experts together. Thank you so much for listening. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.